other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, my podcast on the internet sponsored by Baseballs, the meatballs you can play baseball with. My name is Aaron, here with personal pals Dave.
Boys.
We have Brick. Oh, no, sorry, Young Hawaiian Brick. My bad.
Yeah, see, I was going to say a baseball thing. Hello. Aloha. Strike.
Strike. Just anonymous strike. No number.
Aloha strike.
I was going to yell play ball, but it's all right.
Okay.
You said play mahalo. I'd call you from Old Ireland. You have Old Irish Nico.
That's me.
Also strike. Or do you want to throw a baseball there? Safe.
That's the sound of a bowling stone.
Oh, that's good. It's a Yak Baby tradition to talk about books that we love or hate that others feel the opposite. We've done books that we love that others hate. We've done most hated book. We've done just variations of this theme. We're doing a sort of a new permutation, which is books that we do not love, that are adored, critically celebrated, popularly sort of appreciated. The books that are good that we think are not so good. And I'm sure we have lots of thoughts to share about them. I know one of us does for sure. But we'll start with Dave. Dave, what is the book that you just can't get into that people seem to love and adore?
Kevin Powers' Yellow Birds, which was a book from a few years back, like highly regarded Iraq war novel.
Mm.
Critically praised. Every review that I read was fawning, except for the one that came from our friend Eric Markowski.
Oh.
Former Yak Baby. No, he wasn't a Yak Baby, but... And the one that I wrote. it was just this, like, you know, he's a poet, and it was just like... The whole book was very, very lyrical in like that MFA style that all of us just find intolerable. And I found really intolerable.
When people in this praised instance, it, what do they latch on to? Do you remember?
That a lot of it is the writing itself, you know, the gorgeous prose. And Nico, I think it was, oh no, it wasn't a Booker finalist. It was an NBA finalist for sure. And I'm surprised it didn't win. But yeah, I couldn't stand it. And I know we've talked about it. It's come up in some episodes in a recent Yak Baby too. I think I barked about the first few lines of it. It sticks with me years later because of how much, not only how much I disliked it, but how much everyone else seemed to like it.
That's what my question was. Do you feel like the distaste that book is in some way framed by the praise that it got?
It may have been in part, but I wrote my review before the book came out. So that wasn't influenced by anything. I don't know, some advanced praise. Maybe there were some blurbs or whatever. But I have a few lines from the review that I pulled out.
Let's hear it.
If we want to hear them.
Yeah, totally.
His inclination toward verse shows in passage after weary passage, extolling the wonders of clouds and rivers and sand and snow and stars, buried under which somewhere is a tale worth telling. And in the end, these moments are, so I'm like, write something about how sometimes he gets close to actually, you know, getting to the plot and his characters. But in the end, these moments are crushed beneath cliches and feeble stabs at critical observation.
Would you say that you are, let's say a book that's written that sort of has kind of a more like sensory approach or kind of more just like that kind of more poetic prose style, but the poetry comes across and works for you. That's you're not necessarily objecting to that, but you're just objecting to the fact that it's sort of not so good poetry propping up a not so interesting plot.
Right, exactly. Okay. Or maybe detracting from what I thought might have been a good plot and a good story.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And good characters. Gotcha. Maybe more like that.
That's almost even more frustrating. You actually have something to say and you just don't say it, rather than the
right. That's what it was.
The usual MO, I feel like, is like there's no plot, and so the prose is the only thing propping up that kind of book. So if you like that prose, great, then you like the book. But if you don't, then it's just grating. Like, that's kind of how I felt about Midnight's Children. It's like it's clear that he's trying to write like really poetic verse, and I was like, this is fine. It's good, I guess, but it's not great. And it's not great enough to be the overarching point of the book.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, it's one of those books that we have talked about before where it's like, look how good of a writer he is.
Mm.
Or look how good of a writer I am. Look what I can do on a sentence level.
Yeah. And it's also, I feel like when those books are critically praised and everybody else loves them and you're like, okay, well, and you go into it like with high hopes and then it, you don't jive with it. It's like that missed expectation that makes it even a worse experience, I feel like.
Yeah, and that hype comes from, like, it comes from different quarters too, also come from like canonization, like when books are sort of like put into the canon, it's like, this book is super important, you read it and you're like, oh, I just don't, sometimes the hyping, it makes it sort of, it's unfair to the book to give it that much hype, because then you're not going in with an even field.
How much of the hype for that book do you think just comes from the fact that it's a literary novel kind of going after a war that's not written about very much?
Yeah, at the time, I think a fair amount. There had been few, it was one of the earlier novels about the Iraq War after that Ben Fountain book, which is an excellent book, whose title I can't remember. And they turned it into like a horseshit patriotic kind of movie. Billy Lynn's Halftime Walk. Mm-hmm. That's an excellent book. And I also just remembered that I was so angry about Yellow Birds. And there was like an absurd blurb from Alice Siebold that I wrote a piece for Chamber 4, just like shitting all over Alice Siebold. I think we took it down because it was a little too
aggressive.
I was a real asshole. Yeah, aggressive is a good word for it.
There was a movie made of Yellow Birds. Have you seen it?
No, I did read about it the other day, though. I didn't know it existed, but yeah, that also, I mean, that got poor reviews.
There should be a Yak Babies watch along at some point. Has Kevin Powers written other stuff?
I know there's been a poetry collection or two. I don't know what else, though.
He had a book come out in 2018, oh, really? A Shout in the Ruins.
I don't know if he's a Texan, but he went to the Missioner. He's a Missioner product.
Great. Nico, let's hear about your book that everyone loves that you can't stand.
Well, this is going to be a little bit of a betrayal, but I hated Under the Volcano.
What?
Ooh, boy.
You guys all loved it, so I didn't make a thing about it at the time. But yeah, I just couldn't get into it. I think specifically for me, if most of my reading effort is being spent just to kind of untangle the prose and just to figure out what's happening, that is a hole that the book has to dig itself out of for me. And it didn't. And I just, you know, and it was also like, you know, it was also the kind of the weight of expectations. Like, it was, you know, one of the 100 best books of all time, according to that list. And then Aaron read it, loved it. And so then it was all that coming in. And then it's just not my kind of book. You know?
Right.
It's not really. But that's the episode. Right.
Right. Yeah. No, that's the premise. Of course.
It's not. Yeah. Books that you think are bad. But books that you think are good that you don't.
Right.
Just can't get into.
I mean, that's an example of a book that it falls into the same kind of general category of like the prose is the selling point. I mean, the plots, that in my opinion is interesting too. But I think you have to really want to read that prose style to read that book. And if you don't want that, then it's not giving you anything else to latch onto.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we at the time we talked about how sort of forbidding the first chapter is. It doesn't invite you to read it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that was also a thing when I was reading it. I was like, okay, I just have to get through the first chapter, and then I'll be okay. And then I got to the second chapter, and I was like, this is the same. I still don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely felt the first chapter, for sure, I was lost, and I was also like, I don't know, what's... I mean, we could do this book, maybe not.
When's this dog going to die?
Yeah, get the dog in the ravine part. That's what I want to know about. That's what I came for. But yeah, but it for me, it changed. But I totally get not liking that book. That makes total sense. I do not judge you for that at all.
I do. Other
things, yeah. If you'd said Coast of Chicago, I think we might have had to end the podcast. I think Dave and I would have walked off.
If you had said Coast of Chicago, though, like...
If I said that, everything. Then yeah, that would it would be like a fucking like
memento this whole time. Like, yeah.
Gaslighting Dave for 7 years. All right, Brooke, let's hear it. What's your book that is beloved but you can't stand?
Mine actually is Coast of Chicago.
No way.
Yeah, no, it's not. That would have been fun though, wouldn't it? Mine is a book that I recognize as a good book, but also I hate a lot for a number of reasons, and that is The Great Gatsby.
Sure, we knew this was coming.
Yeah, not a surprise. I think I talked about hating that book a lot. Quite a bit.
Yeah.
So the number one reason I hate it is because F. Scott Fitzgerald is a whiny bitch.
Sure.
Kind of across his career. I think his writing is really formulaic. I think you can just read him trying to be as good as his contemporaries, and like literally everything he writes, he's like writing to fit the form of the other writers, and like good enough to be better than probably most scrubs that didn't get remembered, but not like I'd rather read every word of Hemingway and Tobias Wolff before a single word of S. Scott Fitzgerald, right? And it's just like it always feels like he's writing towards that mold, and it always feels also like there's this underlying longing in his books to be a part of the thing that he's sort of thematically criticizing. Like there's always that like I'm writing from the outside, but I really wish I was in there, and I don't like that. I don't like reading it. I think some people can see that as nuanced or whatever, but I just think he's trying to write something that he doesn't know well enough, or he doesn't, it's something off key. And that's especially his short stories, but also The Great Gatsby. I think another thing that bothers me is I don't think it's his best book. I think Tender of the Night is a better book than The Great Gatsby. And I think most people say they love Great Gatsby because it was the first or one of the first books they actually took the time to take apart as part of a high school class. I think a lot of that book's clout comes from how it's been positioned and used in teaching teenagers than actually the merit of the book.
So he writes like a guy who has a small dick.
Yeah, he honestly, he does. And so, like, the best thing about F. Scott Fitzgerald is that writing with that letter with Hemingway, and also the stories about how Zelda just stomped all over him
or maybe he writes, you know, like a guy who would write a letter to another guy asking if his dick was too small. Like that's a whole different energy, and that's evidently exactly who he was.
He writes like a guy who has like a constant at tagging and hashtagging social media nowadays. He's just like constantly trying to gain the approval of his contemporaries, but his shit's not as good.
So do you like Tender as the Night, or do you not like it, but you think it's a better book?
The second one. I just don't like Fitzgerald's writing in general. And I think that my own personal well is so poisoned that I won't, but I mean, even then, like the names, like Dick Diver, come on, you know, but like, you know, it's just so like, I want to write a literary novel of this time period. And like, obviously he was in it, but like, it feels like he's trying to fit in kind of constantly. He never finds his own thing. He just is a wannabe. I don't know. I really don't like him. I think his short stories are annoying. And I think it spills over to like, I think the idea of the like tortured alcoholic took over that guy so much that he became one, you know. And but I don't think I just don't like his writing like top to bottom. I tried for many years.
Well, we're definitely gonna cover it on Canon or Canon at some point, so I'm looking forward to, I haven't read it in a long time, I'm curious to see how our opinions have maybe shifted, because the other book that I really loved when I read it for sure in high school, and still I read it again in college, or maybe after, maybe it was grad school, and I still liked it, but I think you're critiques are totally valid. I totally see what you're talking about. It's another one of those.
Can already smell the gunpowder from firing it into the sea.
Yeah, we're not even shooting into the ocean. We're shooting that bitch to the moon.
It's too bad for even Poseidon. So I was thinking about this, and it was hard for me to come up with answers because. But the first thing I landed on was On the Road. Which will also be a future Canon or Canon book for sure, which I never liked. Didn't like it when I read it in college, even though I have a shirt that has the cover on it. I never got into Kerouac at all. I know that's sacrilege in some ways, but I also didn't try very hard either, which is why I ended up not picking it for this entry, because I didn't try to like On the Road really. I went in not being psyched about it, and I ended up not being psyched about it, and I feel like I should give it a better go. So I'm going to revisit that when we come to Canon or Canon and see how things have changed. But one book I did think about that I read that I never liked and I tried really hard to like because I felt like I was supposed to because there was a big cultural conversation around it at the time it came out. And maybe you guys will correct me and I will find out that this is actually not a respected book. But The Lovely Bones was a book that I read in college, and it was, I feel like when it came out, it was this thing, it was like, everyone must read this book. This is the best book ever. It's like this perfect distillation of childhood and, you know, it's like a affirmation of life. And I found it to be leaden and dumb. And I hated reading that book. Is that a book that people like? Yeah, I think it was huge. Or is that a book that people don't like? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And then the movie was also pretty big.
I think it was, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think also the movie was big, yeah.
Yeah, the movie I never saw because it looked, I mean, I didn't, why would I want to go see the movie? I didn't like the book, but the book looked bad, or the movie looked bad too.
And wasn't it written by Alice Siebold?
Yeah. It was Alice Siebold, yeah.
Bring it all the way around.
Yeah, exactly. It just seemed like the kind of like, again, back to that hype thing, like all the hype behind that book. If it was just like, oh, this is a book about a murder, I'd have been like, okay, it's kind of interesting. There's some metaphysical stuff to it. That's not, you know, usual, it's cool, but I wouldn't have thought much about it. But because it came so packaged with, oh my god, this is so deep and so meaningful, when I read it, I was like, there's nothing deep about this, really. It's a very, it's totally like a very basic live, enjoy your life as you live it kind of story, and don't get caught in the past. It's like, I've read 1,000 books like that. It just didn't, I don't know, it didn't click with me at all. Did either of you, or any of you, read that book?
Mm-mm. No.
No, it's one of those books I bought and never read.
Yeah, I can't recommend it. Obviously.
It's one of those books like my mom likes that's like,
right.
If she likes a book like that, I already know everything I need to know about it. You know? It's gonna be like tear jerky instead of like actually emotional, and it's gonna be kind of manipulative and probably like heartwarming, you know, all those kind of artificial kind of effects.
Right. Yeah. When I was reading that Stuart Arnan book last summer, what was the name of it? It's Songs for the Missing, because it sounds like Our Prayer for the Dying. I thought it was the same book that we were reading. I was like, oh, great, I'm reading this book too. But it was a different book, because it was just like the same, a blank for the blanking. So Song for the Missing is also about a young girl who disappears, and they family tries to find her, and it also ends tragically. Not just like a spoiler alert in that book, but you can for sure see it coming.
They don't find her.
But it doesn't do any of the metaphysical stuff. And I think I found it to be a much more engaging and satisfying insight into grief than Lily Bones, which felt like the Cheesecake Factory version of grief, right? It was like, this is like, this fits this, like, this whatever, this like single serving offering of like this emotion. Whereas Songs of the Missing was much more, when I finished that book, I sobbed heavily because of like the relief of it. But it's, yeah, I don't know, similar take on similar subject matter, but a much better execution of it, I think, if you're looking for that kind of book. Well, listeners, tell us the books that you can't stand that other people seem to adore. Maybe it's books that your friends talked about on a podcast for years, and then you betray them suddenly without warning.
Old backstabber.
Tell us on Twitter at YakBabies, and also email us at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com to tell us your thoughts there. Also, we're on Patreon. Patreon.com/YakBabies is where we have our secret bonus podcast for $1 a month. That's all we're asking. You can get access to so much fun stuff. There's games. We have the EME game, where we take just various concepts and translate them through our little machine and try to guess. There's Brother Bros, where we talk about the, you know, major issues of our day. There's a whole new podcast called Snack Babies, which is about snacks, taking the world by storm. So listen to that one too. Again, all that waiting for you for one single solitary dollar. And also our merch is available. tinyurl.com/yakbabies is where you can get access to our merch. T-shirts and posters and mugs and stuff that Brick designed, but they're all really fun and cool. Good inside references that your friends will be jealous of. They'll understand.
And follow Snack Babies on Twitter now.
Yeah, there you go. Follow Snack Babies.
It's at Babies Snack. So that's fun. Twitter automatically changed that without
genuinely
me realizing.
Genuinely awful handle.
Two S's. Babies Snack.
God. Even just hearing it makes me... Also, here's one thing we should do. Listener challenge. Tell one person that you know about Yak Babies, if you think they would like it. If you have a friend who reads books and wants to have someone to talk to about them, or is interested in literary culture or whatever, or likes hearing about snacks or whatever it is, tell them about Yak Babies. Spread the word.
And poop.
For a second, I thought you were going to say, tell one person that the book that they love, you hate.
You should do that too. That's the challenge too.
Break someone's heart.
Yeah, even if it's months after you record a podcast with them about that book.
Just find an email where somebody told you to read a book and then say, I read it, I hate it.
It makes sure it's a book they really, really loved. It was as important to them.
Yeah, or wrote. Even better.
That's, yeah, if you have, if you know someone who wrote a book that sucks, tell them.
Next level.
Yeah, tell I'm coming for you.
Maybe just like an, it was fine.
Or like, yeah, Damon with faint praise, be like, oh yeah, I really loved the cover.
Yeah.
The book felt really good in my hands. It was a really, it was a nice weight and size. It really, it felt like you should be reading it for sure. I didn't read it, but I felt like I should. Yeah.
It was a lot of words.
I think you use almost all the letters in that book, and that's really impressive. Almost no one does that. Until then, Yak Babies yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all their loyal listeners, and especially their patrons, both past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, Kathleen, Bailey, Andrew, and William Howard Taft.